And let us pray as we begin. Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you once again for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the joy it is to sing your praises here this evening. And please now take my words and use them for your glory. Please would we see Christ and would we worship him all the more for what we see in your word this evening. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. And it really is such good news, isn't it? Because Jesus Christ is alive and reigns forever and ever. This really all happened, the stuff that we're talking about. On Good Friday, Jesus was nailed to a wooden cross. As he hung there, he breathed his last. He died. And his body was taken down, limp and lifeless, and placed into a cold tomb. But just a couple of days later, the tomb was gloriously and wonderfully empty. Death could not hold him. The grave was not strong enough for him. Death was defeated, and Jesus Christ is alive today. He is alive right now. He defeated death. And the resurrection, we know, it is that answer to that great problem we have of death. We know how awful death is in our lives, don't we? And the resurrection is the answer to that problem. But it is also far, far more than that. It is not simply the kind of answer to our big problem of death. It's not simply proof that the cross worked. Actually, as Jesus rises from the dead, an even greater problem for us is solved. And that even greater problem is this, that you and I, by our nature, we are separated from God. There is a gulf between us and God. And the reason that is such a big issue, something that should get us upset, is because of how wonderful God is. He is truly so, so good. He is beyond compare. Everything good and beautiful and wonderful comes from him. And so to be separated from him is really a great deal. A really great issue. And so the question we should be asking is, how can you and I get back to that God? Because he is so good, and to be cut off from him is so awful. You see, a big ladder's not going to help. What we need, actually, in order to restore that relationship with God, is a priest. We need a priest. We need somebody who is going to take us, sinful and wretched and broken as we are, and present us to God. He's going to take us in all our muck, and he's going to take us to that perfect, good, and holy God safely and make sure that we can have that relationship with him that we should want because he is so, so good. And the great news that Easter provides for us, actually, is that we do have such a great high priest. Jesus is alive, and he, right now, is our great high priest. I look back at the reading we just had from Hebrews chapter 7, 1205, if you close your Bibles, and verse 24. Because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him. See, you and I, we can come near to God because Jesus is alive. Because Jesus rose on that first Easter Sunday, you and I can come to God. We have access to the throne room of heaven, and we can come there with absolute confidence that we will not be turned away, not because we are good, but because Jesus, our great high priest, is alive, and he is there for us. You see, Jesus has not been sat around for the last 2,000 years since his resurrection, just waiting for the day that he gets to come back again. No, for all of that time, he has been very, very busy. And what he's been doing is he's been acting as the high priest for his people, for you and for me, interceding before the Lord God Almighty. And it is a really big deal. And the reason it's a big deal, because I've kind of already said, having a priest is a really big deal. The first recipients, of this letter to the Hebrews, they knew this. They were kind of Jewish Christians. They'd grown up as Jews. They'd heard the good news about Jesus. and they believed him. But they'd grown up with the whole temple system. They'd grown up with sacrifice and priests. And they knew that no priest means that your sin's not dealt with. There's no one to represent you before God. It's all very well killing the lamb, but unless someone goes and presents that sacrifice before the Lord, your sins are not dealt with. So it is a really, really big deal that we do have a high priest. They knew that. And I guess it might not be as obvious for us, but it is still wonderfully true for us. We are cut off from God and we do need that high priest. But the great news is that we have Jesus, who is alive forever and who is able to save completely, which is our first heading this evening. If you're taking notes, Jesus lives forever, so he can save completely. See, Jesus lives forever, so he can save completely. See, like, unlike the old priests from the old covenant, back in the Old Testament and that sort of thing, who kept dying, which would be a bit annoying, wouldn't it, if your high priest kept dying? I guess it would be particularly annoying if you were the high priest. But unlike them, Jesus lives forever. He is a permanent high priest. Look there at verse 21. He became a high priest with an oath when God said to him, "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever." God swears something. He's not going to change his mind forever. It is so wonderfully, wonderfully permanent. See, Jesus is the one and only priest that you and I will ever need. I guess in our lifetime, we probably go through thousands and thousands of items, don't we? Like, we're going to need thousands of pairs of socks, maybe hundreds of pairs of trousers. We might live in a dozen homes, probably have 30 or 40 smartphones if you're young enough to kind of get through that many. We're going to need loads and loads of these sorts of things. But you will only ever need one high priest. And the reason you will only ever need one is because Jesus rose on that first Easter Sunday and he is alive right now, forever and ever. Verse 24 and 25 again, because it's such good news. Because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him. See, he can save you and me completely. Not a little bit. He doesn't get us halfway. Completely. 100%. The whole way there. And this is so different from every other religion in the world, actually. See, every other religion gives you advice or instructions, but ultimately it is down to you to save yourself. So you better do enough good deeds. Or you better attend enough services at the temple. Or you better say enough prayers and do the right pilgrimages. It's down to you in every other religion. But we have Jesus, our ever-living high priest, who saves us completely. You see, Jesus is not like Gandhi or Muhammad or Buddha. See, none of those guys can help you. And the reason they can't help you is because they're dead. It's as simple as that. They can't help you because they're dead. They might give you some helpful advice to live a wise life, maybe. But they can't do any more than that. But because Jesus is alive right now in heaven, he can hear your prayers. He can answer your prayers. And he can save you completely, 100%. But like I said, he doesn't get you, I don't know, 80% of the way there or 99% of the way there, and then turn around to you and say, "Right, now you be a nice little boy or girl and do the last 1%. You go be nice to some people. That might make up that last little bit. I'll do most of the work. You do a little." It's a guy than I was back then. So perhaps I don't need Jesus quite as much as I did back then. And can I say, if there's any of you who are thinking like that, and I am saying this to myself as much as I am to you guys, that is utterly stupid. It is utterly stupid for me to think like that, because I still need Jesus as much as I did on that very first day. He saves me completely. I offer nothing to the equation, and neither do you guys. And so we can praise God this evening that we have a high priest who is alive and who can save completely anybody who comes to God through him. And for some of you, as I look out here tonight, I imagine we're not all Christians here. If that's you, you're not a Christian here this evening, you're very, very welcome. It's lovely to have you. But can I say this to you really, really clearly? Jesus is alive. He has defeated death. He lives forever, and he can save you completely if you will come to God through him. He is trustworthy. He really, really is. You can look around all the world, look at all the other religions if you like, but I am convinced you will find nothing like Jesus anywhere else. He is wonderful and he is trustworthy. And so I beg you, come to God through him this evening. Because he can save completely. And if you take down a look at verse 26, he is a high priest who truly meets our needs. He's a high priest that truly meets our needs. And it's kind of, as I've said, being a priest is kind of an important job. And so you want to make sure the guy who's going to be your high priest is going to kind of represent you before God and deal with your sins. You want to make sure he's up to the task, right? There are certain jobs you need to make sure the person is qualified. You don't want someone like Christian Urquhart, who was a pilot from Sweden. Well, that's what he did for 13 years, okay? There was just one little problem for Christian. He never got a pilot's license. So he'd managed to convince his mate, who ran the flight simulator at the airline where he worked, like a backroom staff, to let him have a couple of goes. And he thought, this is a doddle, this flying a like jet thing. I can do it on the simulator, easy peasy. I'll apply somewhere else with a license I've printed off from my home computer, and they'll let me fly their plane. And remarkably, they did. And he got away for 13 years before he was found out. Or another guy who was he wanted to be a doctor. He was really a banker by training, but he wanted to be a doctor. And so he forged a certificate from Oxford University. He spelled the word doctor wrong. He's put a K in it. And he even spelled the word medicine incorrectly somehow. But he applied to a German university who somehow didn't manage to pick up on this error. And for 14 months, performing over 190 operations, this guy worked as a surgeon. Now that's truly terrifying, isn't it? Because if you are going to lie down in an operating theatre, or someone's going to fly you in a tin can at thousands of feet high, you all know they're up to the job, don't you? You all know that they're qualified. And if someone's going to represent you before the Lord Almighty, and he's supposed to be dealing with your sin, you want to make sure that he is qualified. Well, look at what our writer says about the Lord Jesus in verse 26. Such a high priest meets our needs. One who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priest, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. You see, Jesus died on Good Friday. And as he did that, he dealt with sin once and for all. See, the old priests, they had to keep offering sacrifices day after day after day. That should have been a clue to everybody that they weren't doing the job, that they weren't really cleansing anybody from their sin. But Jesus is completely different. He dies once. Sin is dealt with once and for all. It is finished. And the main point of this whole passage there is right in chapter 8, verse 1, this wonderful news. The point of what we are saying is this. We do have such a great high priest who has sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven. We have a high priest, the Lord Jesus, and he is so good. He lives forever and he can save completely. It is very, very, very good news, but it shouldn't be good news that just kind of, I guess, fills our heads. This is good news that should affect our lives tomorrow and for the rest of our lives, actually, if we get this. And so our second heading is this: Jesus lives forever, so draw near to God. Jesus lives forever, so draw near to God. Actually, to see why all this stuff matters, I kind of invite you to take a flip over the page to Hebrews 10. I'm going to read from verse 19 to 25. This gives us lots of the kind of application, the way this kind of affects our lives. So chapter 10 and verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Verse 21 there again. Since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God. Every single one of us this evening, I want to invite you, come to him. Pray to him. Know him as your heavenly Father. See, that gulf which we began talking about that existed between us and him, it is gone if you are trusting in the Lord Jesus. So draw near to him. He is your great high priest who lives forever and ever and ever. And for some of us who've been walking with the Lord for a while, let me tell you why this is particularly good news for you guys. See, when we sin and we mess up and we think, that is the same way I mess up 100 times, maybe 1,000 times. There is no way I can go back to God with that and ask for forgiveness again for that sin. I don't know if it's just me who thinks like that. I doubt it. But when we think like that, the truth is, wonderfully, no. That is not the case. You are no more sinful than the first time you came to Jesus. You're no more sinful than the first time you came to Jesus. And he could save you completely then, and he can save you completely now, because the Lord Jesus is alive, and he always lives to intercede for us. So let me give you an idea of how this might work in the throne room of heaven. So in the throne room of heaven, there comes Satan. He says, God, you cannot have Simon Eve in your presence. He says, no, you can't. Have you seen his pride? It is ugly. And genuinely, it is. And just as it looks as if I've got nothing to stand on, because it is true, everything that the devil would say to accuse me would be absolutely true. I can make a much longer list than just my pride. But then Jesus would stand up immediately and say, no. No, you cannot have him. I died for him. And I am his great high priest. And I am alive right now. So as long as I am alive, you can't touch him. And the wonderful news is, he is alive forever and ever. And so we can have great confidence before God. You see, when we mess up, what the devil wants is for us to despair. He wants us for us to think, we are too far, we are too bad for God right now, and I can't come to him. That is not true. That is a lie of the devil. The wonderful truth is we have a great high priest who always lives to intercede with us, for us, so we can come to him with confidence. As long as Jesus lives, you and I can have confidence to come to God. And he lives forever and ever and ever, ever. For others of you, perhaps you're feeling this evening a bit weary with this whole Christianity stuff. Perhaps you're thinking to yourself, oh, this Jesus stuff, it's just not working for me. I wanted this or I wanted that. And when I started off going with Jesus, it seemed so real, it seemed so great. But right now, I'm just discouraged. I feel miserable. Perhaps you're battling with depression or something horrible like that. And you look at me at the front here and you think, oh, it's fine for him to be excited about Jesus, this annoyingly extroverted 25-year-old. And whilst that might be true, I may be annoyingly extroverted and I am young-ish. Sorry, you guys know much older than I am. Anyway. That is not why I am excited about Jesus. I am excited about Jesus because of who he is. I'm excited because he is my great high priest who lives forever and ever. And that is true for all believers in Christ. No matter how you feel this evening, that is true. And if that is you, and if you're tempted to give up on Jesus, what can I say to you quite simply? Don't. Look at chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. hold on unswervingly. He who promised you all these wonderful things is faithful. And finally, when you or I, when we're scared of death, when we're worried what's going to happen to us or to our loved ones, well, here is a wonderful truth. Because of Easter Sunday, because Jesus rose, and because he is alive at the right hand of the Father right now, we can draw near. Our Saviour is alive. He has defeated death. He is seated at God's right hand, and he always will be. Jesus is alive tonight. And so can I invite you, whether it's for the first time or for the thousandth time, draw near to God through him. Draw near to God through him. Jesus is alive. He is our great high priest. He can save you completely because he lives forever. Hallelujah.